Hello and a warm welcome to Food and Music here on the Isle of Wight. My name is Paul Bell Chambers and this podcast is inspired by the hospitality sector and also the food and drink producers that we have on the island. And I think it's an important part, or certainly a part of why the island was given a UNESCO biosphere status recently. So there are some exciting things going on. It's very vibrant. And I'll be talking to many of the people involved in it from the food and drink side and also in the hospitality sector. We'll try and understand what they do, how they do and why they do it, what got them into it, and try and learn a little bit about them and get some music selection from them as well. So I hope you enjoy the episodes and enjoy the series. Well, welcome to this episode, and today this is all about a little place in Gurnard, which has been renamed Gurnard Press and Bistro, and it's run by two generations of the same family, and that's Michelle and Ava Newton, and there's also a lot more family behind, and if you look at their Facebook page, which is Gurnard Press, you will see that various members of the family are in there helping either on a daily basis or as and when needed, stepping in for holidays and cover and that type of thing. So it's very much a family business, and that's good to see. I did know about Gurnard Press before this, but the previous owners were looking obviously for the right people to sell it to, and I think they found them with Ava and Michelle. And they were refurbing the place when I first met them, and I think that was within a week or so of them opening, back in June, July time frame, I think it was. Looking at their Facebook page, which as I say is Gurnard Press, there has been a huge positive response to what they're doing at Gurnard Press. I remember it being able to just pop in, get a coffee, a cup of tea, something to nibble on, and I was doing that before the pandemic, and then obviously if they were open, popping in and getting stuff. But as we all know, through the pandemic, every hospitality venture was opening and closing, depending on the rules and the regulations and all the rest of it. So it all got a bit confusing. But I did enjoy getting a cup of tea and something to eat there. Now, from the Facebook reaction that they've had, they're doing some really positive things and keeping basically, I think, to the original essence of what Gurnard Press was all about. So in this conversation with Ava and Michelle, I hope you're going to get to hear and sense the passion that they have for what they're planning and what they're doing. And that has reaped huge rewards in the first few months of opening, which is fantastic to hear. Great menu ideas, great food, all cooked there on the premises, and just a lot of happiness and a lot of great dedication and effort going into making this something really special. So I hope that all comes across in the conversation that we had, and I'll hand it over to them for the first part of the conversation. They've got some great tracks to play in between the various questions that things that we talked about. So that will come into it too. But here's the first part of our conversation with Ava and Michelle Newton at Gurnard Press and Bistro. Why did you decide to take it on?
I think it was it's my local, right. And I've been coming here for a number of years, and it's really fascinating because it started off just as a newsagent, and then it progressed. They had a couple of tables and they served a few coffees, and very quickly it became really popular and the hub of the community, and to see it grow. But you are always very welcome here, and it's a place where you get anybody from the community to come in. You could be on your own, which I am. You come in and sit and have a coffee, you feel part of something. Lovely place.
Yeah, I mean, that was certainly the impression I had, because the first time I saw it was in the middle of a lockdown, and I was just walking down the street here, so obviously nobody was in, but it looked lovely. And you know, obviously they obviously got up and running from time to time during those lockdowns, but you know, funny enough, I was talking to the Blueberry Cafe in Shanklin, and that whole period was a completely chaotic period, because it was changing almost daily as to what you could and couldn't do. So you know, it was a tough time. So where do you see, well, what do you want to do with the place? That's probably the most important question.
I'm going to hand over to anybody. What do we want to do? There's so many things that we've always wanted to do. And I think being now in one place just gives us the opportunity to do literally whatever. Now, we love doing, you know, Michelle does cookery lessons, and we want to host birthday parties, do evenings, and just make it a really lovely place for everyone to come and enjoy doing whatever, really. Yeah, everything.
Because I gather you've both got a sort of steeped in the food industry, as it were. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. It was a baptism of fire, because I was actually a practice manager years and years ago. And then I met somebody and he said, you know, Michelle, I've always wanted a catering business. So I said, oh, that's fine. We can do this. And it became it grew very, very quickly. Yeah. So I left the health service. And then Ava was born in 2002. We are inseparable. Very, very fortunate to have her as a granddaughter. And she's been working literally from the age of two, but especially from the age of six. She was doing helping at weddings, but not just, you know, the odd little thing. She was hands-on helping.
Oh, so you were born to it.
Yeah, definitely. Wow.
So you came out with a train.
Yes.
Yeah, we just really enjoy working together. You know,
we've done so
many things, don't we? We do outside functions, we do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And the thing that Ava, I love seeing it through younger pairs of eyes as well, because she'll go with the absolute trends, like the grazing tables we do, which look absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And you're always on top of that. You know, a professional chef in her own right. And I love it, because we never stop learning, do we?
No, it doesn't stop. You're absolutely right.
No.
So, yeah, I know what you mean about just getting on with doing different things, because that was kind of the thing I missed during lockdown, because as I said, my business stopped in March 2020. So you miss that. But, I tend to do the cooking at home, so kind of keep it up with that way. But I did miss the actual firefight of being with clients and doing the small events to the big events. So yeah, it's good to get back into it. So that's really great news, and I wish you all the best with it, because as you say, it's, you know, I don't think it's ever really necessarily a good time to start a business, and certainly the challenges in the food industry at the moment are probably the hardest they've ever been for a long time. But I think with your attitude and your experience and the way you're approaching things, I think you're onto a winner here, especially you're in a very good area of the island, which I think is brilliant. So
it just feels right, and I think you have to listen to what people want.
Yeah.
And I made that mistake at the very beginning when we were catering, because I wasn't going to do this and I wasn't going to do that. And actually, very quickly, you think, oh gosh, this isn't about me.
Definitely.
This is about what people want. Yeah. And that's a huge lesson.
Yeah, exactly. And I continually learn to cook new things. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, makes it
that's
fun.
Brilliant. Okay, so whilst we're sort of not talking about songs, the first song that you wanted is Hero from Enrique Iglesias.
That's me.
That was
sorry.
You.
was the number one on the day that Ava was born.
Oh, right.
Which was the 31st of January
2002. I'm really right.
The most joyous day. The most joyous day. And that, that was your number one.
Lovely. Oh, well, that's a good reason for that. So we'll play that.
Well, there we had Enrique Iglesias with Hero, and next part of the conversation was really going a bit more into their experience and backgrounds and what they're going to do differently, the type of food and the menus and all that sort of stuff, and their longer term plans. So we'll go back to Ava and Michelle to hear what they have to say.
I mean, from a catering point of view, when did you start doing your own catering? Did you?
So obviously I worked within Nanny's business since, well, six, probably around 11, 12.
Yeah.
I actually dropped out of high school and I went straight into hospitality again at 15. Ever since then, really, I've constantly just worked. I've, on and off with you, but with other people as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that.
So from a catering point of view, how much of that is cooking and how much of that is front of house?
Well, I'd say I absolutely love cooking. Yeah. I do love just hosting. I do love just being out the front and everything that comes with it. But yeah, I'd say about 50-50. Okay. I love every aspect of hospitality.
You do. Basically, yeah. Like, if we don't need someone, her eyes are just like, it's. I think it's in the blood. You either enjoy it or you don't.
Yeah.
And for me, Ava, what you bring is a fresh pair of eyes, and you are incredibly switched on. And it makes me laugh, because sometimes people underestimate Ava. You know, she's just 21. Mm. Let me tell you, do not be fooled.
No.
When it comes to running a kitchen and getting orders out and working to a standard and everything done to the finest detail, to coming out and dealing with customer, you know, you've got a knack about you, which you can't, I always think you can't train people to be like that. You either have it or you don't, well, and you can embellish it.
And I think it's also very unusual for a chef to have both those aspects in equal quantities. Because I love doing the kitchen bit, and I'm best left doing that.
Yeah.
I can deal with people. I do all the stuff dealing with the customers up and to, but obviously if I'm working, I need somebody else to do that bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not so keen sometimes at dealing with that end of it, because sometimes it has its challenges, and sometimes you need somebody who can be very practical and work on.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got caught out doing a wedding for 150, and the cookers weren't working properly.
Oh no!
So we ended up having to decant everything out of that kitchen into the pub over the road.
Oh my goodness!
And get it all heated up. I did have one big commercial hot container, which I got everything that was ready to be heated in. And that was at the right temperature, but everything else needed bringing up to the right temperature. So it was a bit of a so, but you need somebody to go out and do it, because I couldn't really leave the kitchen. So you do need it's best as a team, I think.
Your organisational skills are beyond. I'm often found wanting.
And I'm sure not.
You see the whole picture, and I love that. And the fact you're very supportive of staff.
Oh yeah,
you're a really, really good employer and kind, but you get the job done. And again, that's a knack.
Yeah.
Some people can't really manage staff terribly well.
No, we've learned that.
And just remembering that you train people to a very high level in hospitality, which I don't think you've mentioned.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I'm not very good at talking about myself.
Well, that's the bit you do have to learn. It's not easy, but there comes a point where you do need to learn to do that, because it's part of the job as you go on.
Thank you.
So, what about you?
Well, I never thought that I'd see myself in this situation, because you just grow and develop. And one of the reasons I became a food safety consultant was because I was as green as grass when I started. And I remember we had our first inspection, which was fine, about 24 or 25 years ago. But I was shaking like a leaf afterwards. And I thought the only way to get better is to understand it and be in control.
Yep.
And then I had an absolute passion. So I did all the exams and everything with it. And I love sharing that with my customers. You know, I say I work alongside them. Come on, we've got this. You know, we can do it.
Yeah.
So it's a food safety aspect I love. But I also love trialing new recipes, because every recipe that we use for the cookery sessions I write, which I love.
Mm.
And I'm like you. I'm not going to lie. Front of house. It's been rigid. I'm quite happy out the back there doing what I need to do. But actually somebody, it's a bit, And I love them. I'll come out and chat with everybody, but then shoop, I'm back in.
No, it's like your little bolt hole, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I have had to deal with awkward customers from time to time, and I think I've done it really well. But it's not until you're confronted with it that sometimes you know you're going to have to deal with it. Yeah. So you just get on with it. And I just go by, what's the right thing to do? I think the right thing to do is this. And generally, that's the gut feel is the best way to go with it.
Yeah, just, and also, do you think as well, and I think we're all like that, because we put so much into what we do. That, and I always say, if we're cooking, like today, we made a delicious, easy chocolate mousse this morning with cream, melted chocolate and other things. And I always say to people, try it. But if you like it, tell me. If you don't, just zip it. Because I don't want to know. I take it personally.
Yes, I know. It's very hard. That is hard. But sometimes you do sometimes have to take it on the chin, unfortunately. But I mean, you do what you have to, really, with those sorts of situations. So talking about the food side, so what's your focus, or what do you think your style of food is going to be for here?
We love Mediterranean food.
Right.
And we love a lot of types of food, don't we? So the menu was challenging purely because we had so many ideas. Like, you can't have everything on a menu. But I think there'll be something for everybody. We want to make sure that we can include everybody as we can. And yeah, it's a very varied, a lovely varied menu, you should say.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. I really agree. The one thing we discussed is that everywhere you go these days, there are carbs. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And we're trying to look after walkers that are coming in and cyclists, etc., which is wonderful. But there are lots of people these days, and as nutritionists, that you don't really want platefuls of bready things as well. So it's getting that balance. And I think we've struck a middle ground.
100%, we have.
I mean, it is tricky. I mean, I've done a few things, but I kind of always go back to my Normandy apple tarts or triple chocolate brownies, that type of thing, which is fine, but I tend to do them more as canapés now rather than as sort of big dishes. I certainly think getting into things like, you know, the Ottolenghi style of food, and he's branched out into all, it's not just purely the Mediterranean style, because he does a lot of, I've noticed he's using a lot of Asian ingredients in some of his recipes as well. So it's kind of interesting to see how it's crossing over from east to west, as it were, especially in the Mediterranean side of things. But the island, I think, suits the Mediterranean style of food, I think.
Oh, it does, because you also love Asian cuisine as well, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Always experimenting, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, that sounds exciting. Are there any diets that you're... Because I just read something that some chef up in Scotland has basically told vegans are no longer welcome in his restaurant because somebody complained. Which, I shouldn't laugh, because obviously the person concerned was very upset that this had happened. But I know, I've heard chefs say this before, I don't know how to put this delicately without being incorrect about it, is the word I'm looking for. But yeah, sometimes, I mean, I've had people say, well, I don't like this because I don't like mushrooms. Okay, I didn't ask that. I said, well, have you got any dietary requirements? Because not liking mushrooms is not a dietary requirement. So that's what I find tricky with people, because I do vegetarian stuff for parties, and I end up, most of the vegetarian stuff goes to the meat eaters, which is really bizarre.
Yeah, it is, I agree.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think if you're running a restaurant, though, you're a bit more limited. With me, I'm doing specific events for a number of people, and I know what the menu is going to be, so I can manage it.
Yeah,
but if you're running a restaurant and pushing food out, you know, you might only need one plate of vegan food. That's a tricky one.
Our menu items are quite adaptable, so we'll make sure that we have gluten-free, vegan, because we do want it. I've got a really bad dairy allergy, actually, and I do really struggle to go somewhere and know for sure that they're going to have something that I can actually eat that is delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just want to ensure that everyone feels like, oh, I can have that, and it makes you feel good.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that's the right approach to take.
Yeah, we really...
If you can be flexible with things, then... And being gluten-free isn't tricky, really, at the end of the day. You can do most things gluten-free. So, I do think the dietary thing can... It's a minefield if you're not careful. And I think maybe this guy's kind of stepped over the...
Oh, goodness. Over the line. He's going to upset some people.
He has done, but I won't mention the name, but there we go. Okay, so thank you for that. And the menu sounds good, so I will be here. I promise you, I will be here. So, what's the next song? Elbow, One Day Like This.
Well, actually, we asked our family for suggestions. Yeah. We asked me to choose the songs, and my auntie, my nanny's daughter, said that this was her favourite song, so she wanted us to play it.
Okay, cool. Well, that's a good enough reason. Absolutely.
I was actually, last night, it was one of those gulp moments, because when Paula came back and said, it's Mum's... one of Mum's favourite songs. Yeah. I thought, how lovely that your daughters actually know that sort of thing.
Mm.
I was really taken aback by that.
That's lovely. Good. Yeah. Okay.
But I think it's a nice, happy song.
Yeah.
And I remember it when I was doing my powerboat safety training, and I was very nervous going out, and it was playing on the car while I was driving down to the place where I was going to do it. and the sun was shining and the sea was glistening, and that's what I remember with.
I think I've got a great voice as well, which comes out really well. So that'll be on. Good.
Well, that was a lovely elbow with the delicious voice of Guy Garvey, and what a great track that is. The conversation really just continued really around menus and what their expectations were in terms of the reactions and how their clients would or the customers would enjoy what they're doing. And it's an interesting dynamic, the two of them. So you've got grandmother and granddaughter working together very, very closely in a business, which I've not seen. I'm sure it happens, but I have not seen before. So I'm really sort of anticipating them to go great guns. And this is the next part of the conversation.
Just going back to the menus and also talking about the fact that this was your local. So you have a really good idea of what it was like before and the sorts of food that was being served here. How do you think your catchment area or your market are going to take to your menu that you're planning to offer here at Gurner Press?
Mm-hmm. I hope that they'll enjoy it. We haven't changed things completely, have we? We've kept things, and you know what, that's out of respect for people, because so many people go in, they start a new business with new brooms, sweet cleaner, but it wasn't broken. There was a reason why it closed. And I just think if you start off being too diverse, are you actually going to be drawing back the people who have missed it so much?
Mm.
So I think you just have to assess it. Just go in very gently and then work for a few months, see what's working, and then adapt on.
Yeah, make the changes then. Yeah, I know. I learnt that really in my first ever event that I did, because I did a huge menu, and actually it was just crazy. I was just like, apart from the fact the cooker wasn't working in the village hall, so I was having to boil 5 kilos of potatoes in the microwave. But yeah, and I had barbecue outside, so it was a mix of so many different things. As it turned out, it was the right amount of food, because I've never seen 40 people eat enough food for 80 that quickly. It was unbelievable, but it was a very sort of heart-stopping moment. And then I realised, actually, too many choices. It's actually not a good idea, because what it does is it makes you run ragged when you come into prepping and cooking and all the rest of it. And actually giving people too much choice actually sometimes confuses the hell out of them when it comes to selecting what they want. So it's like, I did this menu and they said all of it, which wasn't the right thing to do, I don't think.
That's how we learn, isn't it? We have got a lovely pizza oven here, and they were very, very popular.
Yeah, we're hoping to those soon.
And we did put those on the menu, and they never said, Nanny, can we just re-look at that, because we're not sure quite what the staffing situation is.
Yeah, it's purely down to staff at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the other factor.
Too far at the moment.
I know what it's like, you know, now, and I knew what it was like when I was working back on the mainland and had my business. I had a group of a team that I could go to. It's a bit more tricky here on the island, and obviously the state of getting staff at the moment is not easy. So I've kind of gone the route of, if I need to, I'll go down an agency road if I need to get people in. But I know that can be tricky too in past experiences as well. But it's a 50-50 hit and miss between whether you get somebody really good or not. So, but that's the only way I can go with it at the moment. So you've got a good grasp of what it is you're bringing to the table, which is great. And you've obviously got the experience and the background to do that, which also helps, because I think those two things are probably the main part of the battle.
Yeah.
But then obviously it's as you say, you're picking up and working out what the gaps are or what you need to change to increase, you know, people coming through the door.
And homemade cake always.
Yeah. Especially,
delicious coffee.
Especially for the walkers and everybody else. Yes. So I think you've got basically a lot of that covered. And you mentioned staff, and I think it's probably the first challenge that you've obviously come across. Is there any other challenges that you see in the first year or so that might?
No challenges.
Oh, I like the positive attitude.
No challenges, just that challenges. Yeah. That's
all. I think you need a sign up on there saying no challenges, only adventures.
No, because I think nothing in life comes with guarantees, does it?
No, really? It doesn't. So,
and it's how, and that when you were asking about Ava earlier, again, you are a great problem solver. And I think that is a skill. That is a really good skill. And we've never been put back by things, have we?
No. Yeah, I think the things that we've been through that have knocked us has pushed us even harder to do it. You know, because if we hadn't, you know, things hadn't gone bad in the past, we would never be here now.
No, exactly.
So it's actually good when things do go
bad. And it wasn't that bad that it killed you, so you're still here, so that's fine. But absolutely. And you do need that, certainly in the hospitality sector, because it comes with its own things. Whether the right word is challenges or whether it's adventures, I'm not sure, but it comes with both of those. Which is good. You've got to make it fun, absolutely. You've got to make it fun, and I found there's no point in doing it if you don't enjoy it.
No. And that's what we said on Monday, because we had an institution day where you were dealing with the institution, and you know how on a tour you can't speak to a person these days, it's all online.
Yeah.
And I said to her, we decided we're just going to have fun that day, and we're not going to let it get to us. So,
yeah.
No.
And you have to just keep floating and keep happy, because you can't allow things that you have no control over to bring you down.
No, exactly. And again, like you, I learnt that fairly quickly once I was got into my stride, because I think I changed what I originally had a business idea, which was this. Within a year, I was going in that direction. so you've got to be adaptable, you've got to be flexible, and you've got to change. And
then you just?
And that brought all sorts of things with it over 10 years, which I have absolutely no regrets in doing, because they were fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It was all part of it.
Exactly.
So I look back on it and think, did I really do that? And it's like, yes, you did. So get on with it and enjoy the rest of it. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, next song. Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Oh, no, it's not. I chose this for you.
Why do you like this song,
really? Why do I like this song? I think because it takes me back again to the days where I was born in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe. And it was also my little sister's favourite song, who very sadly died 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And we often used to sit and listen to it. It's just got lots and lots of memories. Yeah. And yeah, I just love it.
I don't think there's a household that hasn't either got the tape, the CD, or the record, the vinyl. And obviously everybody's got it on Spotify or whatever it happens to be. So yeah, it's a great song.
Did you actually chose that?
Good for you. There's some great songs here, so thank you. That's great. So that's coming up now, which is Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon & Garfunkel.
A lovely piece of nostalgia with Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon & Garfunkel. And the next part of the conversation really continues the menu theme and food. There's something here for children, for adults, and all the rest of it. So it's a nice little conversation that ends this introduction to Gurner Press Bistro with Ava Newton and Michelle Newton.
I think this might be a very short question based on the look as I got just now. You're obviously, I know you're 100%, 110% in your heads are here doing what you need to do for next week and beyond. But when you come up for air, what do you like to do to relax?
What do we do?
The kitchen.
The kitchen.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
Well, we both love the water. We both love the sea.
Yeah.
Spending time with our family we love the most is what we do the most, I'd say,
yeah.
What else do we do?
You love cooking. You always
I do love cooking,
but I
do love cooking.
And you love travelling, which you can do about... Well, you could do.
No more.
Yes. I mean, we're about to do something in the next month. So, first holiday for since 2017.
Wow, where are you off to?
Fantastic.
We're off to Madeira. So that's the place.
It's beautiful there. Oh, how lovely.
Nice. So, we thought we'd go and get a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of the flora and fauna of Madeira.
Wonderful.
And then the food as well. So we've already got a few restaurants booked.
Yeah,
so,
the whole package.
Yeah, we're already there.
Lovely.
So looking at where you are now, you've obviously sort of planned it to really do, you planned it through the menus and doing the Mediterranean style food and that type of thing, and then obviously the homemade cakes. So is there anything else I know you said earlier you don't want to go too far because you're respecting what the people who ran this before were doing, but you're doing things that are similar to the sorts of things they did, but obviously that you want to stamp your own mark on it. So is there anything specifically that's different to the previous incarnation of the Gurnard Press?
I think the lunches are quite different.
Yeah, we've got our breakfast menu as well. So yeah, we've changed that.
Right. Sunday brunch.
Oh yeah, we're doing Sunday brunch.
What sort of things you got on Sunday brunch?
No English breakfast, sorry.
Ah.
It's one of the trickiest things to put together properly, isn't it? It's just, we love charcuterie boards and things like that. And you know, if you think if you go abroad and you have a lovely plate of
continental.
You know, oh my gosh, just delicious.
Just lovely fresh things
Tasty
homemade.
Yes. Like grazing boards, and the same, the children's menus, oh my gracious me. There will be no fish fingers and chips or sausages. Save actual grazing board for the children.
Oh, the children. Oh yeah, we're going to do little children's boards.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Fresh fruit and just,
Did we do the sound of the little rolls or the sandwiches?
Oh yeah, little rolls. Just nice rolls. Little snappy bits.
Crudités and just lovely little things.
Yeah.
Them to enjoy that they can pick, because there's always piles of carbohydrates, when it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Piles of carbohydrate and sausages, or it's not thought through.
No.
Is it? Whereas, you know, we just picture it on the plate with a little bits and pieces, snacky bits.
The whole thing around that fast food thing is really something that I find a little bit frustrating, because we do tend to, as a society, I think, or a culture, I don't know which one is the right word for it really, but we tend to do the fry ups, and then that follows up with all the bready sweet stuff. And I just think, there's got to be a better way. But
still keeping it delicious. So, for example, we're doing a bacon sandwich, but it'll be the most delicious bread, and then we've got a chili jam with it, haven't we?
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, for the children, they can have, we're quite happy to take portions of anything we've got on the menu to make it tailor-made to them as well. You know, it doesn't matter. We don't have to, can't have that because we haven't got that. You know, it's not like that. We'll have a chicken breast in half.
I can remember my wife in a pub many years ago asked for a children menu fish finger sandwich, and he wouldn't serve it to her because she wasn't a child.
I know, we've had that before.
So you just think, well, hold on a minute, wouldn't you just like the cash?
Yeah,
but there we go.
Rules are rules.
Yep.
Hospitality at its best.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've always remember that one when we're out and about and we see a fish finger sandwich on the menu. It always comes to that. So really, I think you've got something here very special by the sound of it. I'd say I was aware of the Gurnard Press before, but never really had the chance to go into it. I think that the decor is lovely. So you've got Heritage Sage was the colour.
Mm-hmm.
That's lovely with white.
Yeah.
I think it just looks fabulous. So
thank you.
Good luck with your opening next week.
Thank you so much. So, lovely awning as well that goes out, which is
brilliant
this weekend.
Some lovely flowers.
Of course, you've got
outside,
tables or space for that as well, which is great. So, I think it's good you kept the name as well, because it might have been easier to, somebody would probably have wanted to change it as well.
We did that out of respect for the clerks, actually.
Mm.
Because it's been in their family for a long time.
Yeah.
And the history of it, I think we are, we're kind people, we don't mean kind, we are respectful of others, of everybody.
Mm.
And I just think that that's still very much part of them, you know. And it's also about empathy, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes too.
Yeah.
That's still, and if it's just a natural progression, really. So just added the bistro.
No, I think that's nice because, I've wanted to pass things on to people to take it forward, because you get to a point where you can only, you've done as much as you can with it.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason, you want to hand it on. But that didn't happen. And it was a real shame to see it go. But having 5 years of effort into something is a lot to sort of just
cut off
and say, that's gone. But that's what you do have to be at sometimes, quite hard, and say, that's it.
Mm.
I'll enjoy the memories, but I'm not going to get too maudlin about it. I'm just going to move on and do the next thing, because that's what's ahead of me, not what's gone behind. So I think you're right, absolutely. Okay, so What about the future? Are you gonna, is this it, or are you looking to expand and build a chain around the island?
Oh yes, that's what I want. I don't know. I guess we'll just see where this grows. Like you've just said, you know, you don't know what's gonna happen, whatever. But yeah, I mean, this is very exciting. We'll keep our eyes on this for now.
Yeah. Well, I hope you've got somebody to sort of video everything next week, because that's. I know you'll have your memories, but I think having somebody here videoing was...
Yeah, we have chatted about that, haven't we?
Yeah.
It is a really special...
It's such a big part, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very special thing. And you know, the other reason, because we said, talking about on hands-free while we're driving in different cars earlier, one of the main reasons as well for this business is that Ava has not always been appreciated in a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of one in particular. And I resolved that would never, ever, ever, ever happen again. Ever happen again. So when you're working for yourself, yes, you do have your downfalls, and you do have, but you are in control of what you're doing.
Mm.
You don't have somebody else pulling those strings and we're not like that as employers, are we?
No,
we are so the polar opposite of that.
Mm.
And I think to just have that,
that
ability to mould your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This
is a huge opportunity for you, because I'm like an old man now, aren't I? But I think your age, this is such a big step, but an exciting one, and obviously something. If you've got the hospitality bug running through your veins, then this is absolutely the ideal thing for you.
It's literally been a dream for a very long time, but it still doesn't feel quite real, does it?
It will be next week.
It will. It does, but it's crazy.
I remember getting my kitchen built, and it took me a week to work up the courage to go into the kitchen to start cooking, because it was like taking that first step.
Yeah,
and I had a friend who was a chef, and he basically told me to get off your backside and get in there and start doing it.
It can be overwhelming, couldn't it?
Mm.
And that's how we feel. We have moments, don't we, where we feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Once that door's open, and you know, I always say to people, because we train chefs as well, and I say to them, don't stay in the kitchen, look outside and see what you've created. When somebody comes in, are they, you don't know how they're feeling, have they just had a round home, have they received bad news? And you are creating that ambience for them with delicious food, lovely company, they feel valued, and they leave floating on air.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which other job can you do that in?
No.
That's very true.
Not many.
No.
Not many.
We're very, very lucky.
No. Well, I wish you all the best with this,
and I shall be watching
with interest, and I will be in, definitely. So, last song is What a Wonderful World, Louis Armstrong. I think that probably sums it up, really.
Yeah,
you don't need to say any more, do you?
That's...
After that last bit of conversation I just think, I wish you well. I really do.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited for you. So,
that's lovely.
So,
it's lovely to meet you.
Thank you for having us.
No, it's a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. So thank you for your time, and we'll see you sometime soon.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, both Ava and Michelle. Thank you.
Well, that was the lovely Louis Armstrong with What a Wonderful World, and it was an absolute pleasure to meet Ava and Michelle. Different generations, same family, and very much in tune with each other on a personal level and on a business level, which I think is fabulous. I wish them all the success in the world, but looking at their Facebook responses, doesn't really need any help. They are doing really, really well with what they're doing. So have a look at Gurnard Press on Facebook. If you want to talk to them or book anything or just go through things, you can email them info@gurnardpressbistro.uk. And I just wish them well and all the luck in the world. And I hope all their adventures will be great and enjoyable. I'm going to close the show off shortly, but I'm going to do something I haven't done before, which is go through a recipe, which I thought might be interesting, and maybe a track from me, and then I'll wind up the episode. All right, so this is a recipe that I thought I'd share. It is available on my website, theislandchef.co.uk, under the recipes section on the drop-down. If you go to the poultry recipes, it's in there. It's one that I did at the Great White Bite Food and Drink Festival on the 9th and 10th of September at Northwood House this year. And it's a lot of fun to do. It's very simple. And it can be done either in a pan or on the barbecue. And the dressing, again, is very simple and the salad is simple. You can serve it with potatoes or crushed or buttered potatoes or some pasta. It uses sumac, which adds a lovely lemony tangy base note to the chicken, and used for centuries by the Phoenicians, the Romans, before lemons were really used as well, and it's used much in Arabic and Mediterranean cooking. So you can scale it to the number of people you need, and it's a lovely simple dish and works well with a nice glass of your favorite cold glass of your favorite wine, when I can get it in the right order, or a nice cold beer if that's what you want. So it's about, this is for two, it's prep time of 15 minutes, cookie time of about 15 minutes. So two chicken breasts. The easiest thing is actually cut them in half. You could flatten them between two pieces of cling film or something with a rolling pin, but that tends to damage the meat too much, I think. So just cut it in half, and there's your two breasts per person. So a tablespoon of sumac to sprinkle. You might need a bit more, but go with the flow, see how much you need, but maybe a teaspoon on each in each breast, half of the breast. So just sprinkle the sumac on once you've doused the chicken breast in oil, and a bit of salt and pepper, and the sumac goes on top. Half a clove of garlic, half a red chili with no seeds, or you could use half a teaspoon of chili flakes, a tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, 100 grams of a mix of baby spinach and rocket leaves, 175 grams of strawberries, stalks removed and sliced in half to quarters depending on the size, and 100 grams of what else, Isle of Wight baby tomatoes. And the really mixed colors look great with this recipe. Some shavings of parmesan and pecorino cheese, or you could grate it, and that's to go on the chicken and the salad when you plate it, and 4 tablespoons of olive oil, salt and pepper. So, as I said, you could either bash the chicken or cut it in half, which I prefer to do. And then you basically rub it in the oil, salt and pepper, and season with the sumac. Have an oven on about 180, 160 C fan and gas mark 4, just in case you need to cook the chicken a little bit more or to keep it warm for a few minutes if you're cooking a larger number of chicken breasts. Make your dressing, which is the grated garlic, the chili, balsamic vinegar and 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and season with salt and pepper. So you then heat up your frying pan on a medium to high heat and cook the chicken breast for around 4 minutes each side, flipping them once until they're browned and cooked through. And you could cook the chicken on a barbecue if the weather's good enough to do that. And on the plate, you then basically put the baby spinach and the rocket leaves, the strawberries and the Isle of Wight tomatoes, drizzle over a little bit of the salad dressing that you've made. Little bit of shavings of parmesan and pecorino cheese on the salad, and then add the chicken breasts nicely together, just lay them across each other on the top of the salad, and then sprinkle those with a little bit of parmesan and maybe a little drizzle of the dressing as well. And that's it. That's chicken breast with baby spinach, rocket tomato and strawberry salad. And as I said, you can get that off my website on the recipe page at theislandchef.co.uk. So that is it for this episode. I thank Ava and Michelle Newton again for their help in putting this episode together. And I'm going to finish off with a track from David Bowie, Heroes. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Food and Music Podcast. I'm very pleased that you took the time to do that and so grateful for your ears. Thank you very much indeed. I've got some more exciting episodes planned coming up over the next few weeks and months. And if you would like to share this podcast with friends or family, it's available on Spotify, Amazon, Google or Apple and a couple of other platforms. So thank you very much for doing that, and I really appreciate your time, and look forward to you listening again to the next episodes of the podcast.